Morning, everyone. Excellent. If you have a Bible, I'm going to read from it in just a moment. My slides don't transfer to this phone very well. I think it's 1 Kings chapter 19. Yes, that's the one. The juniper tree is the title of my message, and we're going to get straight into it. So come along with me as we read together. It says, Ahab complained to Jezebel about everything that Elijah had done, especially the part about him killing all the prophets of Baal with a sword. I like that. Complained about everything he'd done, especially the part about killing all the... he squeezes the toothpaste from the middle. He leaves the toilet seat up. But what really gets me about Elijah is he killed all the prophets of Baal. All right. Jezebel, you okay with that? No? All right. Cain liked it. Jezebel sent a messenger to tell Elijah, may the gods do the same to me and even more if tomorrow about this time I haven't made you like one of those prophets you had killed. Elijah was terrified, so he got up and ran for his life to Beersheba, which is part of Judah, and left his servant there and ran for a day's journey deep into the wilderness. He found a juniper tree and sat down under it and prayed that he could die. It's a lovely prayer, isn't it? He asked God, enough, Lord, take my life because I'm not better than my ancestors. Then he lay down and went to sleep under the juniper tree. All of a sudden, there was an angel who kept grabbing him and telling him, get up, eat. So he looked around and there near his head was a muffin sitting on top of some heated stones, along with a jar of water. Elijah ate and drank and then lay down again. Later, the angel of the Lord came a second time, grabbed him and said, get up, eat. The journey ahead is too difficult for you. So Elijah got up, ate and drank, and survived on that one meal for 40 days and nights as he set out on his journey to Horeb, God's mountain. This morning I want to speak about resting beneath the shade of the juniper tree. Another translation, your translation might talk about he went to sleep beneath the shade of a juniper tree. You know, sometimes our relationship with God can become quite transactional. And if I liken God to a tree, sometimes we're coming to look for the easy piece of fruit to grab and go. You know, trees have flowers or fruit, and we can grab them and we can go. But there's also a part of our relationship with God which should be resting beneath the shade. And that's the transformational part of our relationship with God. And that's where I want to finish today, talking about our transformational relationship that God wants to have with us, not just a transactional relationship. Is that okay this morning if we head in that direction? I'm going to make 4 points about the shade of the juniper tree. That shade is for the poor in spirit, shade is for rest, shade is for ministry, and shade is for transformation. I've actually got a photo of a juniper tree, courtesy of Google. That's a juniper tree in, I think it was Oman or something like that. I think there's all different types of juniper trees, but that's the best one I could find. It's not a beautiful looking tree. It's not a towering tree. It's an evergreen tree, and it's common in wilderness areas. Can survive in hardy places. And so the Bible says that Elijah was basically on the run for his life. You know, the Bible says he was terrified. You know, Jezebel had sworn to kill him. And this is interesting to me because in the previous chapter, Elijah had stopped it raining for 3.5 years. And then he'd made it rain. And then he'd, by faith, called down fire from heaven and wiped out 400 prophets of Baal. You know, these are not minor things, you know what I mean? Like, these are not, was that a miracle or wasn't it? You know, I'm not really sure. These are quite miraculous, amazing accomplishments and signs and acts of power and wonder. And the next chapter, all he hears is that Jezebel is going to kill him and he's done. He's running away. He's terrified. He's fearing for his life, and he gets to this juniper tree, and his prayer is, God, I'm out. I'm tapping out. I'm done. I'm finished. And he goes to sleep underneath this tree. Before I get through my sermon on the shade of the juniper tree, I do want to just make a little bit of a proviso. I'm going to talk about resting in His presence and not always just, you know, having a transactional relationship with God. But I do want to balance it first by saying it is okay to ask God for things. In fact, asking God for things is encouraged in the Bible in many, many, many places. Ask and it will be given to you. You've all read that, right? You have not because you ask not. Alyssa just shared in communion, you know, that we should present our requests to God. Elsewhere it says, if any man lacks wisdom, he should ask God. He is a good God who loves to give good gifts to His children. So when I talk about transformation, I'm not against us asking God for things. In fact, you should be asking God for things. It's a sign of your faith in Him, in His goodness and His kindness, that you do ask Him for things. The reason we don't ask Him for so much is because we don't really trust His good nature. All right? Because we think like us, oh, do I deserve it? Well, He doesn't think like that, all right? So we do ask for things. But I'm going to put that aside and talk about resting in the shade this morning. See, the shade is for the poor in spirit. The Bible says that he asked God, enough, Lord, take my life because I'm not better than my ancestors. This is the person who had just wiped out prophets of Baal and made a drought and made it rain and all these sorts of things. And yet here he is. He gets to this tree. This tree represents Jesus. This tree represents the presence of God. And he could have come to God with a prayer of, hey, God, save me. Have you not seen the amazing things I've just done on your behalf? Have you not seen that I've stood up for you? Have you not seen that I've changed the weather? I've proclaimed your name. I've preached. Have you not seen the good works that I've done? But that's not the spirit he comes. And when we come into the presence of God, the Bible says, blessed are the poor in spirit. That doesn't mean you're poor financially. It means blessed are those who approach God bringing nothing. Who come with who are aware of their spiritual bankruptcy. Who are aware of their need for God. Who are aware that it's not by works, it's not by our righteousness, but it's by His righteousness. David says it like this. He says, my sacrifice is a broken spirit. Because a broken and contrite heart, He will not despise. And you've heard me talk about this before, that the pattern in Scripture is that anybody who comes to God boasting, He rejects, but anyone who comes in humility, He receives. Let me tell you this morning, when you come into the presence of God and you want to come and spend time in His presence, you want to come and rest in the shade that He can provide for you and have transformational time in God, you don't need to worry about who you are and what you've done. You just need to think about Jesus Christ and what He's done, because that's your ticket into the shade. And Elijah here just says, take my life. I'm not better than my ancestors. That's very similar to what Paul says. Of sinners, I am the chief. Yeah? Of sinners, I am the chief. That is being poor in spirit. That is knowing that you need a Savior. I don't know who you are this morning. I don't know what you've done. I don't know how far you think you are from God this morning. I don't know how little you've prayed this year. I don't know how little of your Bible you've read. I don't know how inconsistent your time alone with God has been, or what challenges or habits you can't break. I'm here to tell you the shade is here for you as much as it's here for the person next to you, because you don't need to bring anything to get into the presence of God and to be in His shade. He has done it all for you. All you need to do is just say, hey, I'm here. You know, it's natural. This is what came to me in the prayer meeting this morning. It is natural, and nobody ever talks about this. It's natural when you come to the presence of God to have that thought, I'm not worthy. Oh, I've done a few things. It's actually natural to have that thought because you're coming into a holy place. You're coming into He is holy and unapproachable in so many ways. It's natural to have that thought because we actually enter His presence by faith, not by work. So that thought always comes to discourage you, But it's actually your faith in the completed and finished work of Jesus Christ that we rest in His presence and we enter His presence. So every time that thought comes, when you think about praying and you think about hearing from God and you think about worshiping and reading the Bible, all those sorts of things, you think about whether God can use you, it's actually by faith that we rest and we get into His presence. And it's natural to have that thought. Ooh, you've actually got to push through that by faith. I hope that makes sense this morning. The shade is for rest. He came to this tree. The shade is for rest. He came to this tree and He says this. He says He lay down and He went to sleep beneath the juniper tree. He's terrified. His life is in danger. He comes to the tree. He admits he's got nothing. He brings nothing. And all he does is he goes to sleep. That's all he does. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. It reminded me of Moses. That's why I've got that scripture down there. Moses. Oh, by the way, car, your door's open. Hope you can read that. I can't read that. Your door's open. There it is. That one. Let's all wait. Do yourself a favor. Wait 5 minutes. Pretend you're going to the bathroom, then go into your car, all right? Anyway, back to where we were. It reminds me of Moses. Moses murders this Egyptian and he finds out that he's been found out and he runs away just like Elijah does. It says, Elijah came to a juniper tree, Moses came to a well. It's amazing all this symbolism in scripture. And it's from that well where Moses' life begins to change and take a new direction. Elijah's similar, he's on the run. And he comes to this juniper tree, all he can do is rest. The shade is for rest. You know, most of your prayer time, most of your time with God should be rest. It should be relational. I think we spend way too much of our time in God's presence praying for stuff. What Pastor Yonggi Cho would call task prayer. You know, we've got things we need to see happen. We've got challenges and obstacles and miracles that we need. And so we pray for things and we pray for stuff. That's exhausting. Pastor Yonggi Cho used to reportedly pray for 6, 7, 8 hours a day. He said 90% of that time is relationship prayer, where he's resting in the presence of God. I used to teach people to pray, and I still do, and I was young, that when you pray, you should walk back and forward, you know, and I still pray like this when I'm praying for things, because I find if my legs are moving, my mouth is moving, right? And I can keep praying. And as soon as I sit down, I can't make my mouth move anymore, right? So I still do that from time to time. But then I heard this preacher talk about, he would lay on his bed and spend time with God. And I thought, that is just such a different posture to the posture I had been taught. And God would speak to him as he's laying on his bed, resting in the presence of God. You know, when I see Adam and Eve in the garden, it says Jesus would come down in the cool of the day. Well, the Lord would come down in the cool of the day. I see that as relationship time. I don't see that as task prayer time. I don't see, them walking back and forward, pacing back and forward. Now, God, I need this. God, I need you to do that. I just feel like it's relationship time. That is what we were created for. In the shade is rest. So many times we're coming to God and we're needing things. I need this and I need that because, I don't know about you, but I've got challenges. I've got struggles. I've got obstacles. You've got them and they are ever present. And we pray into them and we pray into them. But I want to tell you, the shade is there for people at any time who want to rest. You can come and pick the fruit and have a transactional relationship where you get what you need and move on, or you can just come and hang out. And God's inviting you into that every day. The shade is for ministry. It says, all of a sudden, there was an angel who kept grabbing him and telling him, get up and eat. Get up and eat. Here's the thing about the relationship that you and I have with God. It is a relationship of co-ministry. You minister to him, he ministers to you. That's why it calls us the bride of Christ. Think of a marriage relationship. In a marriage, you are there to meet the needs and to minister to your partner. When they're down, you lift them up, right? They have needs that they need met. You have needs that you need met, and you minister to one another. A marriage that is all one-way traffic is not a fun marriage, yeah? Just ask my wife. No, I'm kidding. Just a marriage that's all one-way traffic. I do nice things for her. I do. I promise. It doesn't last. It doesn't work. But our time with God is not all about us ministering to him. And yet somehow we've kidded ourselves into thinking that our time alone with God and our relationship with God should be me worshiping, me praying, me doing this, me doing that. I need to serve more. I need to give more. I need to sacrifice more. I need to be here early. I need to stay late. I need to do all these things and do all these things. Well, if you have a relationship that is like that, where you continually sacrifice and you're giving and you're doing all the great things, all the amazing things, eventually you're going to run out. You're going to burn out. You're going to fizzle out. You're going to tap out. And at the end, you'll just be out. We won't even know where you are. Because that's how those relationships end. But God has called you into a relationship of mutual ministry, where the reason that you can keep sacrificing and giving and toiling away and doing all those things is because he is ministering to you as you are ministering to him. And he is lifting you up. And you come to this place, Elijah has nothing to bring. He is done. He is terrified. He's out. And he comes to this place, all he does is fall asleep. And yet here we go. God begins to minister to him. The angel of the Lord begins to minister to him. I've got some scriptures there about Mary and Martha. We know Martha was going around doing all this and doing all that. But Mary sat at his feet and Jesus said, this is what is needed. Yeah? This is what is needed. And all will not be taken away from her. I've got a scripture there about Jesus at the well with that Samaritan woman. And he says, you know, give me a drink. And yes, they have a big debate about all that kind of stuff. And then he says to her, he says, you know, if you had asked me, I would have given you a drink. So many times we're coming into the presence of God and we're doing this, we're doing this, we're doing this. Hey, the shade is there because he wants to minister to you. He's got things he wants to say to you. He wants to lift you up. He wants to build you up. He wants to empower you. And anyone who drinks of his water will never thirst again. Amen? Amen. And the shade is for transformation. He says, get up and eat. The journey ahead is too difficult for you. So Elijah got up, ate and drank and survived on that one meal for 40 days and nights as he set out on his journey. I want you to think about this and take a step back. So Elijah's in crisis. What he really needs is a miracle. Yeah? He's seen miracles, but he needs another one. He needs his enemies to be vanquished or something. How many times have you come to God, even just this year, and you need an answer? I have. There's been times I really need an answer. And we pray, whether it be healing or whatever it is, or financial breakthrough, or relationship breakthrough, or circumstance change. We need something. Or sometimes the prayer is just, God, I need your peace. I need your joy. All right? It's like we're coming to this tree and we're looking for the fruit, the piece of fruit that we need. God, just if you just give me this thing, if you just change this one thing, I'll be all right. Has anyone ever prayed that prayer? Have you been praying it recently? We all pray this prayer. And it's not a bad prayer. Worship team, approach thy stage. It's not a bad prayer. I encourage you to pray those prayers. They're heartfelt prayers. They're honest prayers. They're good prayers. But oftentimes what happens when you pray those prayers, God, change the circumstance, change this thing for me. Just this breakthrough, just this one thing I need. I need this to, you know, whatever it is. It's like all that happens for Elijah here is basically God makes him a muffin. God, please vanquish Jezebel. Have a muffin. What? God, you don't understand. My life is in danger. I'm about to die. They're after me. God's like, would you like blueberry, choc chip? Well, it's, I'm baking here. See, Elijah is interested in the circumstances changing. But God has a different plan. God wants to do something in Elijah's life. And he says he makes him this meal because this journey is too difficult for you. This journey, has it ever felt like their journey is too difficult? I've been there. This journey is too difficult for me, God. Please change this thing. And God doesn't change it. The journey remains just as difficult. But what he wants to do is he wants to do something in you. And so instead of changing any circumstance for Elijah, he makes him this thing and he says he ate and he drank and he survived on that one meal for 40 nights and 40 days and set out on his journey. Ephesians 2:10 says this, "We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Here's the thing about circumstances and works and all the things God has for you is that you actually need to walk in them. And we always pray, God, take them away. God, take these enemies away. Take these challenges away. God, take these obstacles away. But oftentimes God's plan for you is that you would walk in them. And he's not going to take them away. Now, some things he will. Some things are the work of the enemy and they need to be struck down. But other things are just there that you're going to have to walk through. And you don't like it. It's not easy. It often feels too difficult. That's when instead of just looking for a transactional relationship where you get what you need and you move on, you need the shade of a juniper tree. You need the shade that Jesus Christ provides, where you come into his presence and he begins to minister to you and you rest in him and transformation begins to happen in your life. That's the kind of relationship he's called all of us into. Not just take what you need and go, but come and sit. Come and relax. Sit down, lie down, rest, slow down. You don't need to bring anything. You don't need to walk back and forward for an hour, shouting and screaming. You don't need to call down fire. Just sit. I'm going to minister to you. I'm going to do something for you. You may not feel it at the time. You may not notice it's happening. As soon as you leave that shade, none of the circumstances will have changed. It'll all still be there when you walk back out the door. But if you come spend some time with me, I'm going to minister to you and you're going to be different. And it'll be a different person walking back out into those circumstances. As I was preaching, preparing this message, God put a few things on my heart. And I wanted to encourage you. I wanted to issue a challenge, a 7-day challenge this morning. That's 1 week. All right? 7-day challenge. We're going to call it the Juniper Challenge. Yeah, that's what I named it. The Juniper Challenge. And I want to encourage anybody who feels led of the Holy Spirit this morning to come with me on this 7-day challenge. And this is what this 7-day challenge is about. that for the next 7 days, just for the next 7 days, you don't ask God for anything, to change anything, to break through with anything. You don't pray any task type prayers for 7 days, only 7 days. I only say 7 days because task prayers are good and you do need them from time to time, right? And God wants you to ask for things. So that's why it's only 7 days. Because if this is all you did, would be cutting out half the scripture. We're not going to do that. But for 7 days, all we're going to do is eat and drink and lie down in His presence. The image that I want you to have in your mind for these 7 days, if you want to take this challenge on, is the image of John the disciple in the upper room, who they said was leaning up against Jesus, resting and reclining on Jesus' shoulder. And that's how I want you to picture yourself for the next 7 days. That when you come into His presence and you have some time with God, you don't think about anything that's going on in the world. If you're sick, don't pray for it, just for 7 days. If you need financial breakthrough, don't ask Him for it for the next 7 days. If you've got a relationship that's on the brink, don't ask Him to fix it for the next 7 days. If you've got persecution or enemies overwhelming you, don't even consider them for the next 7 days. You don't need to pray for world peace. You don't need to pray that He'd fix world hunger, just for the next 7 days. Don't pray for the political sphere. Don't even pray for whatever. Just for the next 7 days, it's about coming in and leaning against Him and resting. And you know what? You can spend time in His presence where you don't say anything. You can just sit there. You can just lie there. You can just say at the start, Holy Spirit, I'm here by the blood of Jesus and His broken body, and I'm listening. Just sit there. You can lie on your bed. You can just play worship music. You don't even have to sing along. Just for 7 days. And see what happens. See what happens. The other thing you can do in that time is you can pray in tongues. But don't pray in tongues with that kind of like, I'm attacking this issue as I pray in tongues. The Bible says when you pray in tongues, you edify yourself. You build yourself up in the Holy Spirit. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and void. The Spirit of God hovered. And then God said, let there be light. What happens before God spoke and circumstances changed? The Spirit of God was brooding over the waters of the deep. God showed me many years ago, that's what praying in tongues is like. You don't know what you're praying in your own personal prayer tongue. You're not getting any interpretation, but you're building yourself up. You're brooding over the waters of the deep. Bible says your spirit is fruitful, your mind is unfruitful. And you just do that, and then in a moment, God speaks, bang, His will is executed. I believe that if you spend this 7 days in the Juniper Challenge, just not praying any task prayers, but just hanging out in the presence of God, I believe in the next 7 days, we're going to have some great testimonies that maybe none of your circumstances have changed, but I'd love to know what God does in your life. What God does in your life. That'd be awesome. That'd be awesome to hear. You might get to the end of 7 days and feel like nothing's changed, but I still think deep down inside somewhere, something will have happened, and it's going to come out when it needs to come out in that right moment. Why don't you stand with me this morning?